Welcome to the Good Fight Radio Show, a program dedicated to bringing you vital and uncompromised truths that you won't hear in the mainstream media, discussing contemporary issues in light of the Bible and how these issues relate to family, culture, and the church. The heart of this show is to glorify Jesus Christ and expose the works of darkness as he is commanded in Ephesians 5:11. Now here's your host, Good Fight Ministries' own Chad Davidson.
Welcome back to the Good Fight Radio Show. I'm your host, Chad Davidson of Good Fight Ministries, and welcome to the special presentation of part two of our series that we did covering Satanism, pornography, and sex trafficking. In part two, you're going to be hearing the audio version of the latest video series that we have on Good Fright Ministries YouTube page. And this episode is titled Playboy's Satanic Link. And you're going to be hearing the first half of this episode today. But remember that this episode already aired in full video form on our Good Fight Ministries YouTube channel. And this Friday, you can see the premiere live of part three, How Porn is the New Norm, on our Good Fight channel, as well as the following Friday, you can come back to watch the premiere for From Porn to Sex Trafficking. So with all of that, we present to you Playboy's Satanic Link.
With the flawed and fraudulent research by Dr. Alfred Kinsey clearly being skewed by his own sexual deviancy and his satanic link to Aleister Crowley and Kenneth Anger, the man we will be exposing in this documentary happens to be the one who popularized his research. And without him popularizing it, there's no evidence that it would have gained the traction it did in this country. So what we want to do in this video is show you the devil's clear fingerprint on what would be known as Playboy's Satanic Link.
Shortly after the publication of the Kinsey Report in 1953, Playboy magazine was launched. And some see that autumn as marking the birth of what would later become known as the sexual revolution.
If Kinsey was the researcher and I was the pamphleteer, I certainly do think in a very real way the sexual revolution began in 1953, you know, with the second book and the beginning of Playboy.
From Satan to Crowley to Kinsey, we clearly have a direct link to what was really behind the sexual revolution. But it's one thing to have academia on your side. It's another to have someone with the ability to popularize your research. To discuss this, we have Pastor Joe Schimmel back with us today as we look at how the faulty and fraudulent research of Alfred Kinsey was popularized.
Yeah, amen. And I'm happy to look at this aspect of the movement, because now we move into the pamphleteer of the prophet spokesman for Kinsey's lies.
Amen. And that's not just a statement that we are making. In fact, that's not us calling him the pamphleteer. In fact, that's not someone else calling him the pamphleteer. We are going to allow the very man himself, none other than Hugh Hefner, to tell you exactly what he was behind this movement.
Hefner made an immediate association between his soft porn magazine and Kinsey's research.
I referred to it in the first introduction to the first issue. I called it the other great book that was coming out in 1953. Max Lerner, the historian and a good friend of mine, said that Kinsey was the researcher and I was the pamphleteer. And it's an interesting way of looking at it. I certainly do think that in a very real way, the sexual revolution began in 1953, you know, with the second book and the beginning of Playboy.
Yeah, as you can see, and we've gone over now, this is our second episode of this series, watching Satan's fingerprint all over the sexual revolution, and see what Timothy Leary, as Joe had mentioned before, someone who ran for president, was backed by the Beatles. Timothy Leary talked about the glories that was started, that he followed Aleister Crowley. But the fact is that that's led to millions of babies being murdered. That's led to just in a copious amounts of drug usage, mm-hmm. as well as a number of rapes, incest, pedophilia. And this has been, he is the popularizer, and just as he said, he's the pamphleteer. And here is a quote from the inaugural issue of Playboy from Hugh Hefner, and I quote, "If you're a man between 18 and 80, Playboy is for you. We believe we are filling a publishing need only slightly less important than the one taken care of by the Kinsey Report." So as we said, I have Joe here with us because he's going to explain even more in depth the connection from Playboy to Kinsey to Crowley.
Yeah, when you think about it and we look at, you know, Kinsey, we realize there's a spiritual deception that Satan has always sought to overthrow the work of God and the beautiful order that God's designed to bring true joy and true love and righteousness has been thwarted in many ways in regard to Satan bringing perversion. That's what he does. He seeks to pervert everything, including God's moral law. And it's interesting, but so there's a spiritual realm behind this, the demonic world, of course. And then Crowley, we see long before Kinsey. Kinsey basically became a pamphleteer of sorts trying to legitimize his own sexual perversion as well as Crowley's. And Crowley was one of the guys who supplied a sex diary for him, and wittingly or not. But when you look at what Crowley has done and you look at what Kinsey makes popular on an academic level, and then you see what goes on with regard to the beginnings of the sexual revolution in the 1950s, preparing the way to greasing the skids for the sexual revolution in the 60s through Hugh Hefner and Playboy. Think about this. You have the top drug guru promoting free drug use, you know, a Harvard professor who, you know, drop out, you know, and basically, you know, turn on and, battle your mind with drugs and open yourself up basically the demonic world. And we have, in our video, They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll, we show Alfred, or I should say, Timothy Leary under 666 and everything, you know. He's in touch with the demonic world. But you have him talking about, as you mentioned, the glories of the 60s that Crowley started. And then you have the founder of the gay liberation movement, Harry Hay, a follower of Aleister Crowley, marching with NAMBLM, National Man Boy Love Association, the perverse sex. And then you have Hefner pushing Kinsey stuff, which was basically putting a stamp of approval upon Crowley's deviant teachings. But it's also quite interesting when you think in the 1960s, throughout a lot of the hippie movement, you had a guy by the name of Robert Anton Wilson, who flew under the radar because most people that didn't know Playboy's inner workings wouldn't realize he was a major player unless you're into some of the underground, not really even underground, he was a prolific writer on a lot of levels and a cult writer, but he was the editor for the Playboy Forum for 6 years of the hippie movement. And Robert Anton Wilson was a disciple of Satanist Aleister Crowley, many of his teachings. In fact, Wilson, who had edited Playboy Forum department for 6 years, as I mentioned, he would talk about free sex, and he talked about, you know, the hippie movement as being, he connected that to Crowley, and he said, "I plowed my way through all of Crowley's books still in print in the 60s. He also stated, "I began to correspond with Dr. Israel Rigardi." That was Crowley's personal secretary. So he corresponded with him. He said, "I practiced, quote, the methods of magic training giving in Crowley's books," which is all about contacting demonic entities and serving Satan and so forth. And he wrote books like The Cosmic Trigger and so forth. In fact, he said, Robert Anton Wilson said, of Diary of a Drug Fiend, which was written by Aleister Crowley, he said that Diary of a Drug Fiend, quote, has played a decided role in developing the philosophy or mystique of the drug revolution. So he understood that Crowley was a major player behind the sexual revolution, behind the drug revolution, and of course he was practicing his occultism, the occult revolution. All these major pillars of the hippie revolution, the counterculture revolution, which is now mainstream today. So Crowley was basically, these guys basically admit it, Leary, Wilson, and others, he is basically the spiritual architect of this age. And that's what Crowley called the age, the new age of Eon, or the new Eon of Horus, the crown and conquering child. They would end the family, the nuclear family, and would replace Christ. And the Bible warns about this age too coming, and it warns that it would happen. But contrary to Crowley, who wanted to look at it as a long age, it'll only be 42 months ultimately when the Antichrist reigns. Of course, then Jesus Christ will return, it'll all be over, And right now we're leading up to that tribulation period that Jesus talked about. So it's important that we don't just look at what these guys are saying. We say, what does God say about all this? He lets us know that these are puny players really on the world stage. They're big in the world's eyes. Look, these are the movers and shakers of the social order and so forth. They're influencing governments and people and the new age and on and on and on. Yeah, but guess what? The Bible says, greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. If our God is for us, who could be against us? Let's keep the big picture in mind, but also recognize that we are in a spiritual battle. And there are souls that are lost en masse by the hundreds of millions. And we have to make sure that we speak the truth to reach people and extricate them from Satan's lies and get them, introduce people to the gospel of Jesus Christ and to a personal relationship with Christ so they can be set free.
Yeah, I think one of the things that takes place here when we're doing this entire series, it's we're trying to get across the fact that we are not wrestling against flesh and blood.
Spiritual.
This is spiritual. While Kinsey was a sexual deviant, while Hugh Hefner, as we're talking about now, was a virgin until the age of 22, and where it looked like he was jealous of the fun, so to speak, that other people were having, and this allowed him... opened him up.
Kinsey's works, right.
And he convinced him that this was normative. All these fantasies that he had, that you're supposed to act on these things, which is contrary to the Word of God, which he says he was brought up in a Methodist / Puritan home in which they told him that these things were wrong, ultimately.
Right. Yeah, and the irony of what you're bringing up, I think is important, is that he was introduced in university to Kinsey's works, and they had an influence on him. And this just shows you that he has influence on the masses as a pamphleteer. And we're trying to let people know, hey, this didn't just happen. This was organized diabolically, satanically, and Satan picked out players, and he works, as you introduced the very first show, that Satan is a spirit that works through the children of disobedience as he guides the course of this world system. So it's a spiritual war that we're in. And just as we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, as you emphasized, Chad, but spiritual principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world, there's demonic rulers over the porn industry. The Bible also says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. So our weapons are spiritual, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds and casting down imaginations, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. So the way we get victory is through God's word and through the power of the Holy Spirit and through relying on the person of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah, amen. And that's something that if you're going to come on these videos, you're going to watch these videos, and we are going to expose you to some wickedness. The fact is we want you to turn to Jesus.
Yeah.
And we know that that is the only place. And a lot of you, there are going to be, I know there are people clicking on this video right now who have a porn problem, who are committing adultery alone against their wife in their room on the very computer that you're watching this video on. And the only way you're going to pull down that stronghold, as Pastor Joe has already said, is through Jesus Christ. Apart
Absolutely.
From him, you can do nothing and you have no power. But I hope that if you recognize, as Joe has been so clearly been putting forth, that you see Satan's hand on it and recognize you're being duped by him.
Yeah.
Recognize that he is the one fooling you in all of this.
This is for eternity, folks.
Yeah, you know? Amen.
And as you said, you can't do anything, but through Christ, the Bible says you can do all things. So
amen.
It's important to rely on him.
It's rely on him. And we want you to see this. And that's why we're bringing this out, because this isn't just our opinion. And then you want to see what happened to Hugh Hefner. We don't want it to happen to you, where you're grabbing those things of the flesh, the data that would appease your flesh, ideology and philosophy that will appease your flesh, grabbing a hold of that and saying, well, this is my truth, because that's exactly what Hugh Hefner did.
Shortly after the publication of the Kinsey Report in 1953, Playboy magazine was launched. It was said if Alfred Kinsey was the researcher, Hugh Hefner was the pamphleteer, and some see that autumn as marking the birth of what would later become known as the sexual revolution. Now 87, Playboy founder Hugh Hefner was in his late 20s when the second Kinsey Report was published.
The original Kinsey Report on the human male, which came out in 1948.
He has copies of both reports at his home in Los Angeles.
I think that people, quite frankly, were surprised to discover, after all the controversy, to discover that how dry and scientifically oriented it was. But it was the bottom line of what was the conclusions that they reached that were sensational.
Hugh Hefner was so impressed with Kinsey's studies that he even helped to fund some of his research.
The two Kinsey books opened the door to communication and conversation about human sexuality. It confirmed what I believed to be true. In other words, it was a confirmation of my convictions. So I applauded it and welcomed it as the arrival of the cavalry. The truth was finally being expressed.
Interesting how the pamphleteer then becomes the financier, and then he begins helping to fund this very evil doctrine, and that's exactly what it is. But what we have here is Mr. Hugh Hefner saying that finally what he had already believed, he got to find out is the truth, so to speak. So, Joe, where do we actually go, and how do we actually find out the truth about sexuality?
Well, you know what? You can have a million different opinions, and you're in this nebulous kind of area where you have 50 shades of gray or what have you. There's no reality. You can't plant your feet anywhere but in midair, and therefore there's no truth, and anything goes. And if you think there's no truth and there's no objective morality and there's no standard by which God calls us to, then there's nothing you can condemn. You can't even say anything is right or wrong. You can't ever be appalled at anything horrible as wrong because you have no real moral basis. But thankfully, we do have a basis. God has written his moral law in our hearts. We have a conscience, which means with knowledge. We have a sense that it's wrong to murder people. It's wrong to lie to people. It's wrong to take other people's things. God's given us a conscience, and he's given us his word. You know, and the same God that says it's wrong to murder and steal and so forth, he says it's wrong to commit adultery. It's wrong to commit fornication. It's wrong to look upon a woman who's not your wife and lust after her. All these things are in Scripture. And Jesus said, thy word is truth, speaking to the Father, amen. Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. The Bible says the word of God endures forever. Over and over again, the Bible is called the word of truth. And it's interesting, from the very get-go, you see God's design in Genesis, where he creates a man and a woman, and the two become one flesh. And that's a beautiful thing. Now, what's interesting is as you continue to read the book of Genesis, it's like a narrative that becomes a commentary on what it means to break God's moral law and break the marriage covenant. Because you see adultery, you see fornication, you see polygamy, and you see the result of polygamy when Abraham takes Hagar. You see what happens with Hagar. You see what when God says the kings are not supposed to take themselves many wives. You see what happens when Solomon later takes many wives as you push your way through the biblical narratives. And when you get back to Jesus and he comes in his first coming in Matthew 19, he makes it clear that the two, he says, will become one flesh. He shows God's plan for marriage and that the two should stay married and that they're bound to each other unless there's adultery, which is horrible. And it's under that condition, he says, a man is to remain married. Let what God's joined together, let no man separate. He's very into marriage and emphasizing marriage. If a man divorces his wife without her committing adultery, without a cause, then he commits adultery. These are serious teachings by the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 7 mentions that if a non-believer leaves you, you're not bound to that marriage. But otherwise, you are to stay married and you're to be faithful to your spouse. And the scriptures are really clear about that. But it gets even deeper than this because Paul in 1 Timothy 3 talked about a mature man of God that was eligible to be a leader, that he's to be the husband of one wife, not to be a polygamist. So the Bible is very clear on this subject. And I think that's important because the enemy wants to bring confusion and so forth. And I think it's way deeper than this. Is the Apostle Paul talked about this great mystery. In the Greek, it's mega, which is huge, big, mysterion, mystery. In the Bible, the mysteries aren't something that you have to figure out that will come to pass in the distant ages and hopefully will, like an Agatha Christie mystery. It's something that God did not totally reveal in the Old Testament, but reveals in the New Testament. And the mega mysterion that Jesus reveals is that a husband or a man leaving his mother and father and cleaving to his wife, the two of them would become one. And he said, he's speaking how a wife should respect her husband. A husband is to lay down his life for his wife as Christ does the church. And there's this beautiful picture of harmony, complementarianism, where they complement one another in this beautiful relationship that he says is a picture of Christ's love for the church. And where God becomes a man, gives his life for the world. All those who come to Christ become part of his bride, his church, and they become part of his body. As a husband and wife come together, the two become one. God becomes one with his people, and that's what we call the body of Christ. All true Christians, hundreds of millions of professing believers, are part of that spiritual body. So Satan hates that. He hates the fact that people could be redeemed. The Bible says Jesus did not die for angels. Satan is going to the lake of fire, it says forever, Revelation chapter 21, or chapter 20, verse 10. And he's ticked off, so he hates that whole picture of Christ and his bride for eternity, and he can't destroy that ultimately. So he wants to destroy every picture of that, which is the marriage between a man and a woman. And he hates marriage, and that's part of his warfare, is destroying the picture of that marriage, because he doesn't want pictures of God's plan of redemption, because he doesn't want people to be redeemed, because he wants to take as many people as possible with him to the pit. So it's important that we see there's a huge picture, and there's actually a satanic war that's very honed in on the sexual revolution, because Satan hates Christ, he hates redemption, he hates sex between two people that are faithful to one another. But praise God, we have a God who authored he's the one who invented sex. It's a beautiful thing in the confines of marriage again. It's precious, but you take it out of the confines of marriage and it becomes disease-ridden, destructive, painful, emotionally destructive, physically destructive, and spiritually destructive.
Yeah, and it's interesting that in one of the earliest letters of the Christian church, Paul's letter to those in Thessalonica, he says,
chapter 4,
what is God's will for your life? People wonder that all the time, especially you come to faith maybe, and you wonder, what is God's will for my life? Yeah. He says it very clearly. This is God's will for your life. Your sanctification, that you would flee
Amen.
Sexual morality. It's not something that you, hey, this may be okay to look at. This may be okay. No, you run from it like Joseph running from Potiphar's wife. It's really, really, really important. And I believe, as Joe just completely exemplified in what he just stated, it's because of the picture that it is of our relationship with Christ. So when you see that and recognize it, then you recognize why God does care what you do inside of four walls. And I know there's an analogy I'd love you to bring out as well when it comes to a fireplace and what a fire has to do when it comes to
yeah,
this.
Yeah, I love to use that analogy. In fact, I see Jim over there outside the studio glass there. And he came to me one time when I gave that analogy. I love that analogy because it's such a powerful analogy. And that analogy is basically, a fire is incredibly, can be very beautiful, or can be incredibly destructive. I mean, right now in Southern California, last couple weeks, we've been having some horrifying fires, right, that have been very destructive. But in a fireplace, a fire can be incredibly beautiful, incredibly warm, romantic, all those beautiful things, right? Because it has boundaries. But you take the fire outside of the fireplace and outside of its boundaries, and you have it climbing up your walls, you have it burning your sofa and your house down, it's destructive, destroying your house and destroying people in the house. And that's what sex is sex inside the confines of a biblical marriage, and confines of two people committed to one another under God until death do them part. It's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing because it's made to be enjoyed that way. But if a man starts sleeping around with other women, starts getting involved in pornography, or the woman does, and all of a sudden is like a fire. It escapes the confines that were meant to make it beautiful. And isn't this beautiful picture of two people having intimacy and being committed to one another and laying down their lives for one another, loving one another, and be faithful to each other. But now it's not a faithful thing at all. It's a thing that's about me and how I feel and making myself feel good, no matter how it makes other people feel and how it hurts other people, what diseases it spreads, becomes very destructive. And it's important that our audience knows that we understand that if you're engaging in sexual sin, you're destroying others and you're destroying yourself. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 4, Chad, that you just brought up, that God will avenge those who commit sexual sin. And he says that you defraud your brother. In other words, you're ripping off the person that you're having sexual sin with. If a man isn't married to a woman and he's having sexual relations with her, or a woman with a man, or a man with a man, or a woman with a woman, which is forbidden in scripture, and they say, hey, I love you so much, you might as well be honest and say, I lust you, because that's not biblical love, that's not agape love from the Holy Spirit of God. What that is you're preying on that person because you're not following God's dictates, God's design, and you end up, the Bible says you defraud them, you're ripping them off, you're hurting them, because guess what? If the Bible says, and it does, be not deceived, adulterers, fornicators, effeminate, homosexuals, and so forth, won't inherit God's kingdom, 1 Corinthians 6, 9. And those who are not following the Lord but rejecting his teaching on sexuality, and it says don't be deceived, they won't inherit God's kingdom. And you're telling someone you love them, but you're leading them into sexual sin, away from the kingdom of God, Revelation 21:8, the lake of fire. How are you loving them? You're not really loving them. So if you're in any kind of relationship like that, and you're saying, hey, I'm just involved in porn, I'm not doing that to anybody, well, then you're hurting yourself. You sin against, the Bible says when you sin sexually, you sin against your own soul. So you're hurting yourself, and you need to repent of that. And you're also hurting others because guess what? when you're into pornography, you are fueling an industry that exploits people of all ages, including the young. And you also are committing harm in that way. So I encourage you to repent, fall on your face before God. He will give you the strength. He is absolutely faithful. Okay, I know all kinds of people. I've counseled people through the years as a pastor who have received victory over sexual sin and that bondage through the power of Jesus Christ, through putting their faith in Him. So I encourage you to know Him and know His Word and embrace Him through faith and confess your sins, repent, and ask the Lord for strength, and He'll give you victory. If you fall down again, wipe yourself off, ask the Lord God to cleanse you by the precious blood of Jesus and strengthen you so you can grow in power and eventually have continual victory.
Amen. And that, I mean, that's really so important. And one of the things we want to draw out here is also look at what has happened to our society, that this is so normative as well. But look at how it got to this place. In fact, you interviewed the same woman that we're about to play a clip from for the Kinsey syndrome. And in that very clip that you play, she says a lot of the similar things that she said more recently in an interview that she did, but I'd like to have her talk about just how wicked this pamphleteer, what has happened because he's popularized pornography the way he has, and he's popularized Kinsey's research the way he has.
Ultimately, Kinsey's fraudulent data led to the legalization of pornography.
One of the virgins in college that read Kinsey and believed him was a guy named Hugh Hefner. Okay, yeah, so he's in college.
So Hefner was an advocate for Kinsey's.
Well, he reads Kinsey and he says, hey, everybody's been lying to me. They've all been diddling around doing all this stuff and I have been standing here being a nice guy, forget it. He says, I will be, and I'm quoting him, Kinsey's pamphleteer. I will be Kinsey's pamphleteer.
Really?
So from there, he began to advocate for changes in law, and he created a magazine called
Playboy.
Playboy, which then he said would reflect what Kinsey had found about human sexuality.
In his fraudulent data.
America was educated by a pedophile whose work was labeled as science, just as Darwin was the father of legitimizing evolution. Kinsey was the father of legitimizing the sexual revolution and all that's based upon that today.
Sure enough, Hefner was true to his word. Not only did he popularize pornography on a global scale, he also helped to legalize it.
I wanted a congressional investigation of Kinsey. At some point, we may, in fact, be able to get a public to be aware that they've been raped. The whole nation has been raped. That is what's happened to us. We have been raped, and you cannot expect to survive a rape without a great deal of illness, pain, and trauma. And we've gone through it. Now we've got to find a way to get out of it.
And this video right now that you're watching is hopefully trying to help you find a way out of it. And with all that, I have to ask, Joe, how do we find a way out?
Well, it's interesting. Judith, you know, she puts her finger on a lot of the problems. We flew to Arizona and interviewed her, and it was great. She was a delight to interview. I had her as a captive audience. She's a Jewish lady and real nice lady, but I had her as a captive audience. So I witnessed to her probably for about half an hour or so, telling her all about the Messiah, Jesus, Yeshua, HaMashiach, the Messiah. And we had a great time. I don't know if she might have squirmed a little bit for about a half an hour there, but I know she appreciated my passion. Jesus said he came to set the captives free in Luke chapter 4. In John chapter 8, Jesus said, you know the truth, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Jesus said, if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. So it's important that we know that there is a way out. And there's all kinds of people that can't find a way out because they're trying again to win these battles in their own strength. But Christ gives us power because He made us, He loves us. He doesn't just guide us, but where He guides us, He provides for us.
You've been listening to the Good Fight Radio Show, brought to you by Good Fight Ministries. If you're blessed by this show and would like to partner with us, won't you consider visiting our support page at goodfight.org? Or you can write to us at P.O. Box 2202, Simi Valley, California, 93062, or call us toll-free at 1-866-JC-TRUTH. That's 1-866-528-7884. We hope you'll tune in next time on the Good Fight Radio Show.